Just love them. That's really, you know, this series that we've been in, we're calling it 6 Foot Baby, right? So we're going to wrap up this series this week. Next week, you don't want to miss it. We're going to be doing a game show next week. We're going to be doing a little family feud next Sunday, and you don't want to miss it. Invite somebody to come. We're going to be talking a little bit about how we love our volunteers and our laborers and those who serve us here. But, you know, it's just a natural outflow to be talking about serving when you're talking about moving from being a 6 foot baby. Because really, that's what the goal is. We want to get from being served and being dependent on everybody else to spoon feed us and give us and take care of us and make us happy to the point where we're growing up and we're using the gifts. How many of you know that God has gifted you? Everyone in this room, I want you to know, God has gifted you. Every one of you have special gifts, probably 2 or 3 different gifts that God has gifted you with. And one of the joys, one of the secrets to finding real happiness in life is figuring it out, what it is, how it is that God has made me, what it is that I was about to say that makes us tick, but I know some of you CR guys are going to go and what ticks us off, but what it is that really does that makes us tick, what it is that we're gifted at, what it is that we love to do, and then figuring out how to really put that to work in the kingdom of God. So throughout this series, we've been just kind of developing it along. We talked about the fact that growing up and maturing in the Lord is God's desire. Then we talked about that it's not only His desire, that it's His design, that He's designed, He's put a pathway for us that starts with faith and it moves right on through. You remember a lot of those characteristics we talked about that ends in that agape love and really that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Then last week we started talking about as we grow up, every baby that grows up not only has to learn how to walk, but they have to learn how to talk. And so we started talking about the use of our tongue and how that it can be kind of a challenge for us, and it's a real indicator of our maturity. And there's some things that we want to grow up in and no longer be talking the goo-goo, ga-ga on a spiritual level, but we really want to be talking the language that the Lord has given us. And the things that come out of our mouth are building up and edifying and encouraging and really helping people in their walk, those that are around us. And so last week, we talked about 2 of those areas that we want to avoid. One was idle or careless words, and we saw where Jesus said you're going to give an account of those. And then the second thing we talked about last week was gossip and how important it is to just keep our mouth shut, not talk about other people. We gave you some real practical questions to ask yourself, like, is it true? Is it necessary? Is this going to help to make things better or not? Before we ever open up our mouths, have I got permission from somebody to be talking about the things that I'm getting ready to talk about? So that is a part of what we covered last week, and we're going to just kind of pick up right there. But before I get any further, I just want to go back to James. James chapter 3. And let's read verses 2 through 10 there, because again, this is just a good point, just a reminder of what it is that God wants to say to us about our tongue. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. That's worth just thinking about right there, isn't it? If no one is at fault in what they say, in other words, if your language is right, you will be right. You're going to be the perfect man. The perfect indicator of what's inside of us is what we say. Jesus, he's going to make this connection, and I'll come back to this at the end of the message, but in Matthew, he talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There is a connection between our heart and our mouth. And the only way your mouth is going to be right is if your heart is right. And he says, and if you say things right, you have achieved this thing of being a perfect man. And that's really where we want to go. And so he picking it up there, able to keep his whole body in check. Because if we can control our tongue, then we can control the rest of it. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And then jumping down to verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious, in other words, a mature Christian, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Or in our language today, we would say he's still just a 6-foot baby. So let's pick up where we were last week. We were talking about how the Bible addresses the immature tongue, the 6-foot baby tongue. And again, we covered idle words and gossip. So let's just pick there up there with the third thing to talk about this morning, and that is that the 6-foot baby lies. I don't know about you, but as for me, I hate being lied to. Anybody else like that? You just hate being, I mean, it's almost like tell me anything, but don't tell me a lie, right? And if we hate it that much, then why do we turn around and lie to other people? And bottom line is, it's a self-preservation instinct. It's a reaction, right? I don't want to have to pay the consequences for what I just did. I'm hoping that if I lie, maybe you'll never know, and then I won't have to pay the price. And the answer is, hey, let's just do the right thing, and then we don't have to lie, right? If it were just that simple, huh? Because we're not going to always do the right thing. But it's important that we don't lie. Lying is so ingrained in our culture that a writer wrote an article a number of years back entitled 19 Great American Lies. I'm not going to share all 19 of them, but you may recognize, you may have heard some of these and went, oh yeah, right, I don't believe that. How about this one? The check is in the mail. Hey, ever told that one? Like, yeah, the rent checks, it's in the mail. Or how about this one? Your table will be ready in just 2 minutes. 20 minutes later, I'm still waiting to be seated, right? How about, I just need 5 minutes of your time. 30 minutes later, they are still pulling on your ear. Or I threw this one in. It's not in the thing. How about this one? No, officer, I wasn't speeding. Here's a preacher lie. In closing, how many of you have heard that one? And 20 minutes later, he's still in closing. So, you know, bottom line is we're natural-born liars. We don't have to be taught. How many of it your kids lied? Did your kids ever lie? Yeah. Did you have to teach them that? I mean, we teach them how to tie their shoes. We teach them all kinds of things. Did you have to teach your kids how to lie? It just came natural, right? I mean, every parent has looked at his kids with chocolate on his mouth going, I didn't eat the cookie, right? Oh, I was talking to my daughter about this week, and she said, oh, Dad, remember when we caught my youngest granddaughter, and Hannah, her youngest daughter, Aubrey, excuse me, it was Aubrey. I don't want to blame Hannah for this, it was Aubrey, and she had been eating a powdered donut, and my daughter actually pulled the cell phone out, and you get to watch what happened.
Aubrey, have you been eating donut? You haven't? You didn't eat any of it. You promise, Mommy? You wouldn't lie to Mommy, would you? Let's see. So here's the donut. Oh, look, it's white powder. Come on, Aubrey. I see some white powder on your face. So did you eat a donut?
Mm-mm.
You didn't eat the donut?
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey, I think you ate the donut.
I didn't.
Tell the truth, Aubrey.
I didn't eat the donut.
Well, how did that powder get on your face?
I don't know.
You don't know? Did you just put your head on top of the donut? Just give it a hug or something? Is that what happened?
Uh-huh.
It is?
Uh-huh.
I think Mommy just came up with a clever lie and you went with it.
I mean, did you see the look in her eye like, oh yeah, that's the answer? I was hugging the donut. You know, we laugh at that, but the reality is lying is not a laughing matter when it comes to God. Listen to what Proverbs 12:22 says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That sounds pretty strong, right? Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It's kind of interesting how there are certain sins that we Christians remember are an abomination to God, and other ones we forgot are an abomination. I mean, a lot of people go, oh, homosexuality is so bad. It's an abomination according to the Scripture. And that's true. According to the Scripture, it is. We're not taking that out of the Bible. That still stands. But the same Bible that says that also tells us that lying is an abomination to the Lord. A minister one Sunday morning told his congregation, said, next week I'm going to be preaching on the sin of lying. And just kind of in getting ready for next week, if you would, everybody read Mark chapter 17. Just read that chapter, and we'll talk next week. So next Sunday comes around. Pastor, before he begins his message, says, hey, last week I invited everybody to read Mark chapter 17. How many of you did that? Hands went up all over the congregation. And the pastor says, very good, thank you very much. He says, of course, I just want to tell you that Mark only has 16 chapters in it. And so now I'm going to begin my message on the sin of lying. In the book, The Day America Told the Truth, the statistic comes out that 91% of Americans habitually lie, regularly lie. Now I'm looking around the room, maybe 100 folks in the room tonight. Ain't but 9 of you telling the truth. Which ones are you? See, and they're raising their hand. If they just raise their hand, you know that they're probably the one in the 91%. No, I'm just kidding there. But the reality is, hey, 91% of Americans, there's got to be a lot of Christians that are in that survey as well, who have not yet grown up, not yet matured, still 6-foot babies, still telling things that aren't true. Revelation 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and say it with me, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Man, that's a bad group of people to be included in. I don't want to be included in that group of people. I want to be included in the group of people who are growing up and we're maturing and we're realizing that God values honesty and integrity. I want to be the kind of person that somebody says, well, that was the craziest thing. Yeah, but Tommy McLaurin said it, so I know that it has to be true. I want that to be said about me. If I said it, it must be true. And I know that you want that said about you as well. We as the church want to be the kind of people. Listen, the world is watching us. The world is listening to us. And if you go to work, you go to school, you're in your social groups, you're whatever, and you're known as a person who doesn't tell the truth, and then you're trying to be a witness for the Lord, you know, the world, they see that a mile away. They know the difference. So first of all, or thirdly, I guess we should say here, we don't want to be guilty of lying. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's still a part of the Ten Commandments. Not the 10 suggestions, they are the commandments. It's the way that we need to be living our lives. Amen? That was kind of weak. All right, that's a little bit better. Okay, so moving along then, one last negative thing, and then I want to move into the positive territory. And that is that the 6-foot baby swears and curses. If you're still caught up with a foul mouth, and you've been serving the Lord for any period of time, stop. Cut it out. Quit. I'm waiting for some amens. Listen, if you got potty mouth, you're talking bad all the time, cursing, and all we do it when I get mad. I don't care if you get mad. Don't do it. Don't do it. Change your language up. If you're talking negative, nasty talk like that, and then you say, oh, by the way, I'd like to invite you to our Christmas program. It's going to be really great at our church. You think anybody really wants to come? No, they're looking at you going, if everybody in your church talks like you talk, and believe me, some people, that's the way they judge you and your church. So if that's the way you do, then your church doesn't have anything to offer to me. And so I'm not going to stay on this long. I'm just going to say, hey, cut it out. Stop it. Quit. Get your language right. Learn how to say things that are wholesome and good and healthy and not cursing and swearing and all of that negative stuff. Let me just kind of wrap it up the way I was wrapping up this section last week about our language. Out of the Membership 101, we talk about we don't want to say anything that's unclean or unkind or untrue. Nothing unclean, nothing unkind, nothing untrue. Let that be what we're known for. So you're ready to change gears? Let's talk about some of the positive ways that you can use our tongues to bless and to build. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, we're told that the tongue of the wise brings healing. How many of you know we live in a world with a lot of broken people? A lot of hurting people. The world has just piled it up on them, and they're struggling, and we get the opportunity to come into their life as members of the kingdom of God, as God's children, and to be a witness and a testimony, and to bless them, and to speak encouragement, to speak wisdom, to speak healing, to speak forgiveness, to speak good things into their lives. So let's talk about three ways that we can use our tongues to bless. First of all, the mature tongue loves to talk about God. We just love to talk about God. So we need to use our tongue to just talk about God every chance that we get. You know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. I know that we got some folks who are big sports fans. I see even a jersey or two on in the room today. People want to let it know this is the colors that I'm supporting. You know, this is who I'm rooting for. You talk to those people. I mean, it doesn't take long. You know what they're passionate about. You talk to me about some of the things, like I'm passionate about horses. You talk to me about that. We can talk all day long. I mean, we really can. My wife's like, no, don't even mention it. You don't want to get them started. Because we love to talk about certain things that we're passionate about. I want to ask you a question. Does anybody who knows you, who listens to you, do they know that you're passionate about Jesus? Because every chance you get, you talk about how he changed your life, how he turned you around, how God did turn it around, how I was broken, how I was messed up, how I was enslaved to sin, how I did have all those things going on in my life. But then I met Jesus, and he changed everything in my life. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you as well. Amen. That's what we need to be talking about, blessing the Lord, lifting up his name, giving him all the glory and the praise for what he's done in our life, being a witness and testifying about God. You know, there's this phrase that says, cat got your tongue, you know, where somebody's all of a sudden they're just really quiet, they don't want to answer. Sometimes I think it's almost like the devil's got our tongue, and he's got us quiet. He's like convinced us that the world does not want to hear what we've got to say about God. Listen, the world needs to hear what we want to say about God. And we need to share that with all of the love that God has for the world. So we want to use our tongue to praise or to bless and to talk about God. Secondly, the mature tongue makes positive confessions. We talk positively. Listen, if you go around all the time in gloom and doom and talking negative and how, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this and I can't do that and this is broken, then that's bad. And you know, if you talk defeat all the time, that's what you're going to get. Greg was just talking about that principle earlier when he was talking about the tithes and the offering. He's talking about what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever kind of seed you're putting in the ground, that's what's going to come up. Your language has the power to plant seeds in your life. It's got the power to plant seeds. And so if you're planting doubt, you're planting negativity, you're planting just all kinds of disbelief and fear, what's going to come up? Fear, disbelief, negativity. It's going to be happening. If you talk about how, I'm never going to make it, well, then you probably never will. I'm always going to be poor. Well, you probably will be. If that's the way you're talking about it, we need to turn the tables on that. There is power. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. We get to speak life. We get to proclaim the good things of God. The Bible says that the things that we pray, that when we're talking about, when we're asking God for it, he says, for whatever you say, go back and look at, whatever you say, you will have. There's something about speaking. I know that some people have taken this to an extreme, okay? I understand that. I know that people have said, I'm just declaring that I'm living in a mansion and I'm driving a Cadillac or whatever. The Cadillacs are probably way down on the list right now. I'm driving this. I'm having that. I'm not talking about using God like he's some kind of a money machine or, like you put some coins in and, dollar bills come out. So you put a little in and I'm not talking about getting this thing out of balance, but I'm talking about that there is a power of life and death, and we can speak things and declare things, and we begin to see those happen. If you all the time you say your marriage is not where you want it to be, it just doesn't feel right, you can talk negative and destructive about that, and it probably is not going to get any better. But if all of a sudden you start turning it around and you start speaking positive things, you start trying to speak good into that, speak life into that, you'll be amazed at what the Lord is able to do. We need to do that. We learned this principle about the power of the tongue, the power of speaking positive. This isn't just a positive message here as far as just talk it and say it and it's going to happen. But this is a principle that we need to learn. We need to put this into practice in our lives. We learned this in the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, it begins that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on, it says, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. What does God do? He uses the power of the tongue to create. He begins to speak into that which is dead and dark and void and without form. And he says, let me create something positive into that. And he speaks, and light begins to come. And life begins to come. And over the next number of verses, you just see God again and again and again, every day. And God said, let there be, and there was. And the Lord is saying to us that we have that same kind of power to begin to create with our tongue, to begin to speak things forth, to begin to declare the good things of God. Instead of talking about how horrible your children are, why don't you start to just bless them and praise them and begin to declare that they are God's children, that they're made in the image of God. He's got a plan for their life, and it's a good plan for their life, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to be successful, and they're going to love God, and they're going to do great exploits for the Lord. Isn't that a whole lot better than just criticizing them and condemning them and knocking them down, and all of, do that same thing for all of the other things in your life and the people in your life and the problems that are in your life. Begin to declare. The Bible talks about that we speak or we declare the things that are not as though they are. The things that are not as though they are. It doesn't say that the things that are, we say that they are not. That's denial. That's living in denial. I'm not talking about denying what's reality, but what I am talking about is seeing beyond what you can see with the natural and begin to see it in the spiritual and begin to see what can be and begin to say, this is what my preferred, this is what I believe God wants. This is what the Word of God says about me. This is what I know is good in my life. And so I begin to declare the things which are not. It's not yet, but I'm beginning to declare it as though it is. And the Lord begins to say, hey, I can do something with it. I think there are times where God is just waiting on somebody to come into agreement with him. He's waiting for somebody to say, I want to do this. I'm standing here. I got a dump truck load of blessings that I just want to pour into your life. I just need somebody that'll say, hey, over here, I'll take them. Somebody that'll say, yes, I'll get in line with you, Lord. I'll begin to say the things that you're saying. In Ezekiel, let me go to that scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4 and 5, this is what the Lord says to Ezekiel. He says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, if you're standing out in the middle of this dead battlefield, this valley where soldiers have fought and there's skeletons laying on the ground, and you see a guy standing over there going, dry bones live, you're thinking, dude, you have been in the sun too long, right? It doesn't make sense. There's a lot of things that God will ask us to do that in the natural, it doesn't make sense. But because God said it, and we do it. And then the Bible says, so Ezekiel began to prophesy. And there was a rattling in the valley as the bones began to come together. And then the flesh began to come onto the bones. And pretty soon the Spirit of the Lord blew into those bones, and they became alive, a mighty army. Because why? Because he began to speak. He began to declare. He lined up with what God was saying, and he began to speak it and to prophesy it. I remember when I was in a Destiny graduation. This has been 10 or more years ago, and we had this program in our church called Destiny, and it was always this graduation, and you had a group of prophets that would prophesy over you at that time, and this one particular prophet, he came up, and he was loud and boisterous, and he just walked up, and he went, prophesy, 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 prophesy over your family, prophesy over your plants, prophesy, prophesy. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a pastor, not a prophet. No, I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, you begin to prophesy. As a child of God, you begin to speak. As a child of God, you begin to declare. As a child of God, you begin to line up with what God is saying, and you begin to say it as well. Listen, I'm trying to help you guys today. Don't keep criticizing and talking negative and defeatism and fear and failure in your life. Begin to declare what the word of the Lord says over your circumstances. Declare the Bible. Get a Bible verse. Begin to pray it, preach it, declare it, prophesy. Say it over yourself, over your family, over your body, and watch what the Lord does for you. It's time to speak those positive confessions over your life, over your health, over your finances, over your marriage, over your children, over your walk with the Lord. And then finally, the mature tongue will praise the Lord. Psalm 34 and 1 tells us, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. We need to become people who are praising the Lord. Amen? Would you just stand with me? In fact, why don't we just do that right now? Why don't you just right where you are, because God is so good, because God is so worthy, just begin to bless the name of the Lord. Begin to praise the Lord. Maybe you want to lift your hands and just begin to join in with me out loud. Use your tongue. Father, we just bless your name today. Father, we just magnify you. We love you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. You are so worthy. You are so good to us. You have blessed us and taken care of us and met so many needs of our lives in so many different ways. And we're grateful, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. God, we want to become everything that you've called us to be, and we know that you're empowering us to do that. We just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for turning our lives around. Thank you, God, that you're restoring homes and families and marriages and children, because you're a God of restoration, Lord. We just thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Thank you that you're a healing God. Many in this place, we've been healed by the hand of the Lord. Maybe some are sick and they need that. Lord, we just declare healing over ourselves. We just speak to ourselves healing in the name of Jesus. We declare it. We boldly proclaim and we praise your name in this place. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. We want to move beyond being 6-foot Christians, 6-foot baby Christians. We want to move into being 6-foot grown-up Christians that are serving the Lord, loving God, making a difference, being a blessing to those that are around us. And part of the secret to that is the control of the tongue, taming the tongue. You say, but Pastor Tommy, you read from James where James says, no man can tame the tongue. That's right, no man can. But that doesn't mean that God can't, because what's impossible with God, with man, is always possible with God. With God, nothing is impossible. God wants to come alongside of you. He wants to help you to do this. He's not asking you to do this alone. He's not asking you to do this by yourself. He's saying, I love you and I care about you and I want to help you do it. Can I tell you, God's not just interested in your tongue. He's interested in your heart. There's a connection. I mentioned that earlier, Matthew, where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God's not just interested in your tongue. The tongue is secondary. The tongue is what brings forth the evidence of what's happened in the heart. Listen, again, God's not just wanting your tongue. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants all of you. I wonder this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, we stand here in this place of humility before the Lord. Maybe there would be some people in this place today that would say, I'm ready to give God my heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your everything. And you're ready to say yes to Jesus. I'm tired of trying to do this in my own strength. I'm tired of trying to do this by myself. I'm ready to fall at the foot of Jesus and let him be the Lord of my life. If that is you, if there's anyone in this place today and you're ready to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and make him your Lord, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Who's here this morning that's what you need to do? That's the next thing that you need to do to move your life in the right direction is you need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and today's the day. Yes. Is there somebody else? Anybody else? Any other hands that would be lifted? Today's the day. I'm ready to surrender my life to the complete Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe there was a time where you were living for the Lord, but you've walked away from him, and it's a distant past thing, and it's like, I need to get back. I'm just not sure if I got the courage to do it. The Lord is saying, I love you, and I'll receive you back. Just come home. Just come home. Anybody, you need to recommit your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You need to do that and make it right. Anyone that would raise your hand, I need to recommit my life to the Lordship of Jesus. Maybe there are those that are watching online today. I want to ask you to join with me if that's where you are, and it's time for you to make that decision. Pray this prayer out loud with all of us here in this room. Pray from your heart. Those who raise your hand, pray this prayer right now from your heart. Dear Jesus, I come to you now, and I confess that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you, Father, for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sin. Come into my heart now. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we just want to welcome you into the family of God. Come on, Spirit Life Church. We just put your hands together, welcoming those into the family of God. I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front. And as we often do, we want to close by giving you an opportunity to pray. Maybe there's some things in your life. Many of you have already been to this altar. You may need to come back a second time. That's okay. If you need prayer for anything in your life, we stand here ready to pray for you, to love on you, to speak the word of the Lord, to prophesy the good things of God into your life. And if you made that decision to commit your life to Jesus, or you recommitted your life to the Lord this morning, if you'll let one of these prayer team members know about that, and we're just going to pray with you, give you some material, help you to really get started and moving in the right direction. So I'm just going to pray this final prayer and dismiss you. But those of you who need prayer, we want to encourage you, come on down and let us pray with you. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for all the good things that you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you that you're growing us up. We're not going to be 6-foot baby Christians anymore. We're going to be full-grown, mature men and women of God who are really reaching the measure, the fullness of the stature of Christ that you desire for us. I pray that you help us to live away this week, that our tongue will give away the fact that Jesus Christ is living in us. That the language that comes out of our mouth will reflect the good things that you have done in our lives. Lord, where we fall short, I thank you that you forgive us, that you're quick to forgive us when we're quick to ask for forgiveness. Bless, Lord, minister to every need of each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.